In this episode, Columbus's CEO, Søren Krogh Knudsen, and myself, Marketing Director at Columbus, Martina Lundgren, will talk about the contradictory times that we are seeing right now with high inflation, potential recession, and low unemployment rate. Should you back away from large investments, or is it perhaps the best possible time to invest in digitalization and business transformation? Happy to have you, Søren.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to it.
Cool. You just started your first year as CEO at Columbus in a world just liberated by the COVID vaccine, economy hitting all-time high, and now, a year later, the scene has changed. How does it feel to be in your shoes?
It still feels good, but the world certainly has changed over the last 12 months, and so many aspects stay the same, and then new elements have certainly been introduced.
But what have you had to reconsider?
Well, if we go back a little bit, I think one of the main trigger points, unfortunately, was the conflict in Ukraine, invasion, and it led obviously to our divestment of our own Russian activities at the end. Very time consuming, but very necessary also to do. So that was a task all to itself. If we then look at what has sort of happened since, it's more like a macroeconomic change. So we're definitely seeing inflation at rates that we haven't been used to for decades. I guess a general perception that we're heading into slightly more difficult times from a business context.
Absolutely, and I'm thinking it's a lot of uncertainty. What I know is difficult to guess, but what do you think will happen next, financially or economy wise?
One thing which is very relevant for us as a company is the unemployment rate, because it drives the need for digitalization. But it's also a main difference to the previous financial crisis we experienced is that unemployment rates across the markets where we're in the US, in the UK, in Denmark, where we are today, in Norway, also to some extent Sweden, not quite the same. Germany is extremely low, and that just makes it hard to curb inflation. So we're seeing an extremely hot job market in combination with what's supposed to be a downturn in economy, and I think that's slightly new.
Yeah, I would say, and I'm kind of thinking last time you were changing jobs in the midst of a recession. You went from Verizon to PA Consulting. I think that was a bold move to switch. How come you did that?
I was a lot younger back then, and I think I made my decision before the full extent of the economic downturn in 2008 was clear. Joined in August 2008, I think.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think there was any particular plan behind it. I'd been planning that move for quite a long time, and I just followed through on it, and it went well. But actually, in my first years in consulting, it was not very good years in consulting, so it was a tough start, I would say.
Yeah, and going back to a little bit comparing the two so-called, I would say, recessions, we're not quite there yet maybe, but a lot of our customers, they did a lot of restructuring in 2008 and 2009. And now you're saying that they're not doing that. How are they, how are they going to deal with this?
When you enter into a period like we are now, you said there's a great degree of uncertainty, which I definitely subscribe to that. What most companies do, and also I would recommend that or subscribe to that view, is you focus on the things that are within your control, and you of course we keep an eye on the planning and we have scenario planning, but what you end up with is there's so many assumptions that you have to build into your various scenarios prediction is impossible. So basically you focus on what is within your control and you optimize on that. And what our customers, I think, are doing right now is that they are optimizing on everything that's within their control. So they do experience this skilled labor shortage, mm-hmm. and they know they're going to experience that for quite some time to come. So they continue to invest in technology initiatives that help relieve that burden. So I think that's what they're doing, and maybe then the difference, because they were doing that before as well. So the difference here becomes the investment approach. So prior to the current situation, you might have a slightly different philosophy where you're prepared to take a big risk on technology investment. You know that you're going to be investing for quite a while until you start to reap the benefits, and as such, sort of the benefit realization curve is going to be in the negatives for quite a while before it starts to deliver. And I think what everybody's trying to do now is to flatten that curve. So you're looking for quicker value realization,
shorter cycles, basically,
and less spiky in the investment profile. So that seems really smart to me, and I think actually that's beneficial regardless, because I think it just drives a more efficient way of investing in technology. I think one of the things we've seen in the past at least two decades are sort of very, very big investment projects, waterfall style planning, a lot of assumptions built on top of each other, and then you commence on a huge journey, 2-3 year investment, and then you know the one exciting go live day, everything is supposed to work, and that model has its flaws, and it's definitely quite risky. So I think some of the things we're seeing now is a more instant feedback loop. Was it working? Do we want to increase our investments? And then you can better adjust for uncertainties or assumptions that didn't prove to be true along the way.
All right, so let's say you're in the manufacturing industry. Mm-hmm. You're in a mid-size or a large company. What do you do right now?
So our three main industry verticals, so manufacturing and food and beverages and retail, all share one characteristic, and that is that they have a lot of moving parts. So it's not digital corporations. They actually have physical goods that they need to move. They have many employees. They have they operate machinery, and that's what sets them apart. And that's why we love about them. And they are very complex, and that makes it exciting. So there are there's obviously some areas that you share with everybody else, but then there are some distinct areas. And I find one which I find particularly interested in is within sustainability, because by definition, these customers have a very heavy footprint, and it's necessary because they produce food, they produce goods. So it makes a huge difference if they can improve on their sustainability output. So and they have a big interest in doing so, obviously. So helping them digitize everything they need in terms of reporting, decision making, supply chain optimization, to become more effective and thus reduce their footprint, is probably more relevant for the three industries, particularly manufacturing, as you ask about them, but also food production, etc., than anybody else, simply because of the nature of what they do, with so much transportation, so much warehousing. If you work with fresh produce, which many of our customers do, you know, good demand planning makes a huge reduction in the waste percentage. So it's highly rewarding to work on optimizing these things with our customers. Yeah.
And then that brings me into the hunt for talent, so to speak, because they are also employing at a fast rate IT specialists, digitalization specialists. How does that work with what we are offering? I mean, the talent is scarce. They are ramping up their own digital operations, I would say. They're building their own centers of excellency, digital excellency. Where do we come in? How do we fit in to that?
Well, obviously, to some extent, we're competing for the same talent. But I would still say we welcome that when our customers hire very skilled people, because in order for the projects that we deliver with them in unison, we need to have a very skilled counterpart at the customer side that we can work with. So so it's absolutely necessary, and we welcome it. It then makes the talent pool even scarcer, but it's absolutely necessary, and I think we're seeing some very skilled customer organizations. It's one of the most important factors for ensuring success of projects.
If the talent is scarce, how should a company think about insourcing versus outsourcing? Does it make sense to hire a lot of talent, or does it make sense to say, okay, I have this situation, I hire a certain type of talent?
It makes a lot of sense for our customers to be very specific about where they hire. So they, and I find that's what they're doing in general. They're very knowledgeable about where they need to hire and where not to hire, because you can't build centers of expertise for everything. And this is also one of the areas where really over the last just 10 years we've seen a tremendous improvement that I think benefits everybody. So simplistically put, I think it's like this. So everybody has understood now the concept of software as a service or cloud products, and we've all learned by now that unless there's a very specific reason, you need to adopt to the standard of that platform. So if you start to change or making bespoke code, then the whole rationale for doing it like that disappears very quickly. So for everything which you do not see as something that really builds a competitive edge, you have a standard software platform that you're using, cloud-based, hopefully, and that means that you don't have to hire that many experts for that. So basically, the experts associated with that are typically some architects sitting on top and people that are very skilled in managing relationships with people like us. That's what's needed. And then they choose certain technology platforms, which they see as truly unique for them, something that forms a competitive advantage. And there they will go much deeper into
customizing and
their own developers and basically seeing that as a piece of IP, a piece of competitive advantage, which they integrate with the rest of the landscape. That seems to be a very good, solid approach from my perspective.
Yeah, and I understand. It makes sense. And I'm coming back to sustainability a little bit. I've been thinking that there seems to be like a common notion that sustainability and digitalization is like a way of putting that we can't have sustainability without digitalization. But now I'm being a little bit political here, but I'm thinking that isn't that also depending on the market economy that, you know, we are in this situation where we need constant growth as well? So sustainability could happen without digitalization if we were not to grow. I'm talking about the economy.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't think they're fully intertwined.
Not
fully. I can sort of understand what you're saying, but on the other hand, I just think there are so many examples of where digitalization will further or basically enable a more sustainable approach. So some of the examples I came up with before is you know where our customers are using technology to reduce waste is one of the sort of way you can really see it. So if you are an importer of fresh food, and a technology platform can enable more supply chain transparency, so you're basically less inclined to order buffering and then you have to throw it out because you didn't need it after all. You know, it's such a clear thing. If you can use analytics platform to understand better what products do you need in which quantities by when, it's just very clear that is a, you know, that drives improvement. But I'm sure there are other examples that are not
clothing,
technology.
Clothing business, I think, is another example that you're could bring up here as well, where you can see where the cloth has been made, if there are, you know, how it's been produced, the materials, everything. And that's
traceability,
also
traceability.
Yeah, I think that's a really good part of it. All right, so talking about sustainability, one note is that going to the cloud, it does require a lot of energy, and energy is scarce as well. So how does that go together? Can we solve that at a larger scale? I know that we had a case in India where we actually managed to do something on it.
Yeah. So both renewable energy, you know, production of renewable energy, but also all the associated changes to the distribution, the power grids, presents a pretty big challenge that we need to work through quickly. Also, charging stations, and so we're basically seeing a pretty abrupt change of how much and where we have power consumption. And the example you mentioned from India was exactly that. So it was actually not related to producing more renewable energy, but basically managing a change and a much wider distributed. I believe you know they would refer to it as upstream, so where energy is produced and then harnessing that and then planning for consumption, time of day consumption, etc. So basically it's perhaps best referred to as load balancing. So how do we rebalance the load when we have so different consumption patterns as before? So that was a very exciting case for Swami and his team in India to help solve.
It sounds a little bit like we can do what IoT, you know, smart homes, we can do what that can do, but for large companies.
It's very much the same. It's a good analogy, yeah. So basically, you know, there's one part of the challenge is having a renewable energy source. Another very big part of the challenge, which is not so often discussed, is that the infrastructure that we're currently running on was designed with something else in mind, and now it needs to be updated. And obviously, that's a new infrastructure investment, which is huge, but has not much to do with us. But the planning and the forecasting and the management of it is something we can assist with. So that was a cool one.
Yeah, and I mean there could be more potentially, even if it's a big investment. I also see that it's a big return on investment that will go in inevitably, because you use it and you get it back.
Yes. Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. So. Summing up, so are you hopeful for the future or not, and why so?
Yeah, definitely. So very optimistic, actually. So I do realize that we're going through some challenging times, but this is by far not the first time. It's actually more the normality. I think we had a very long stretch where things were fairly easy you know, that was bound to come to an end, and now it's a bit more difficult. But I think there's some really positive things associated with the challenges right now. So the fact that the workforce is largely employed, and that's a new real big problem, is very healthy in terms of many of the things we discussed today. So the employee value proposition, you know, the sustainability kind of thinking and
automation
is a big part of it, and so basically there's no easy way out here. We're trying to fix it for good. Normally, if you had a crisis, you know, unemployment might soar very quickly, and you know you could basically just
wait it out,
yeah, or throw man hours, yeah. Woman hours at it. Don't think man hours is
people
what it
hours.
People hours. Sorry about that.
No, I don't know.
You know, but that's not available right now. So we need to come up with really smart solutions to all of these challenges. And I think that's just positive because it drives us in the right direction. It's the same thing for having very rewarding work for our people, because everything that's not rewarding and is sort of mundane task, we can call repetitive, low complexity tasks, should be automated. And that goes, you know, well, because we lack the people, but also it's not very interesting to work on. So everything that can be automated should be automated to free up time for more interesting work.
Yeah.
which again I think will do wonders also in on the sort of the longer term sustainability agenda. So so it's difficult, but it's a very, very nice challenge to be a part of.
Yeah, and I think it is super positive because it will free up time to do creative stuff. And I think we are many who can sign off to that we don't want to do, like you said, repetitive stuff. We want to use our brains for more challenging tasks.
Agree. And also super positive to be in a company where many of our colleagues have a skill set that can readily be used to solve some of these problems. So, and that's what going back to why I joined Columbus back then, we have a lot of very skilled technical resources here within ERP, within commerce, within data and analytics, within CXE. So, they really have the ability to go out and change the way our customers conduct their business. So I think I'd more be frustrated if I felt there was nothing we could add to it, but we can add a lot. So that makes it not frustrating, but a good challenge.
Thank you. Great having you here.
Thank you for having me.